The following program contains violence and coarse language.
It is showtime, baby! Here we go!
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
Yes, it's time once again for Radio Free X-Man.
What's Radio Free X-Man?
We've got 11,000 people at NASA trying to figure that out right now.
Radio Free X-Man's beloved cast of broadcast entertainers are back.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Now, the charming and delightful president of X-Man Mortgage and host of Radio Free X-Man, Bob.
Your head is freakishly large.
Brooks.
Charming and delightful. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, tax goddess?
They'll say anything.
I've never met you, except for the head thing. They got that.
Hey, my hat fits. Okay. Just because I got it at the Gap.
It was the tinfoil lining and the extra tight elastic band around it that keeps it so snug, right?
No!
That hat would fit over the propane tank at the trailer house.
That tinfoil lining keeps these space aliens from beaming into his head.
Press the blast-off button.
And there go the happy space aliens now, right out of Bob's head.
Well, hello and welcome to Radio Free X-Man, a show where we discuss mortgage and mortgage-related things and all things financial, but not necessarily all things financial.
Or in that order.
That was a conundrum?
Well, if conundrum means a burst of incoherence, yeah.
We don't necessarily...
I didn't know you spoke fluent gibberish, but apparently...
Well, you know, it was that time in the Himalayas.
Yeah, and the abominable snowman still can't forget that night.
I wanted...
Oh my gosh.
Me in the yellow snow.
Hey Rob, why? Well, I guess first of all we need to do introductions. This being the third Radio Free X-Men
and
program,
and yet he still hasn't learned to introduce his co-host.
Where are my manners, Houston?
All the listeners to have intimate personal knowledge of each of us, like Paris Hilton or Tom Cruise, or I mean, we're not quite there yet. So
I was about to be frightened, thinking that those people actually listen to us.
Okay, the inane and vaguely eerie voice that you hear in your head right now—that is, besides me—is Robbie, and you will notice that he sounds vaguely phonated. Phoned.
Right.
He sounds phonal. Yes.
He's in phonal today.
That's right. Robbie is in phonal today because he forgot how to get here. No, he's in phonal today because of a communication error. The communication between his ear and his brain.
Or between his left ear and his right ear.
that's an echo chamber.
Echo chamber.
Plenty of communication going on there.
Why aren't you in the studio today, Rob?
Well, actually, I was experimenting with a new brain control device that in the world of sales, you have to be able to get into one, you know, the person you're trying to sell things to his head. So trying to directly do so via brainwaves.
Does it work over the phone? Because I feel like buying something from you right now.
Yes, you see, I'm using my amazing brain power. See, now I'm going to use the power of the radio show to say, get out your checkbook.
X-Men Mortgage will sell you money. Lots of money.
That's right. Robbie, I think you ought to use that brain control device on yourself first.
That may have been what happened this morning. I wrote a check to myself for $200.
Congratulations on your purchase. Do you have buyer's remorse yet?
Absolutely. Where's the warranty on this thing?
That is the Bruin Frog. That's Rob Wood, who is
phoning it in on a number of levels today.
Bob Brooks is the host. I'm Dave Perkins, the producer. This is where I normally go on a maniacal rant indicating how completely in control of this program I am, but I'm feeling peaceful today and calm, so I'll skip that and we'll go right to the introduction of the lady that counts.
The lady to my left. And as with Robbie, it's the only time you're going to find her on my left. It's the tax goddess. She's a taxual woman. She knows all things tax and tax-related.
And we have here today the tax demigoddesses.
All hail to their royal highnesses, the two princesses of the faraway land of X-Man.
It's the purple velvet upholstered gold brocaded radio introduction. No scrimping on introductions here at Radio Free X-Man. The budget is limitless. Introduce yourselves. Lean up, state your name, and explain why you have headphones and a microphone today.
I'm the older demigoddess, mm-hmm. Tori, and I'm here today because they stuffed headphones on me and put me in the back of a car.
So it worked, huh?
We just took her straight off the street where she was and just...
There she is, boys. Open the trunk, Fugsy.
Right, boss.
Get in, kid, if you know what's good for you. Let's go.
It's kind of a weird way to pick up your kid from school, but who's this other kid?
I am Lexi, the younger demigoddess.
That would be demigoddess once removed?
That would be a cousin. I wanted to see my sister just sit here in the chair.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Tori and Lexi, the younger members of the venerated X-Men family. Your last name is X-Man, right?
Yeah. Oh, X-Men's...
That's right, and that brings us to our new radio commercial for X-Man Mortgage.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me an X.
X. X.
Give me an M.
M.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an N.
N.
Give me a Z. Why not?
Z. 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 Why not?
What's that spell?
X-Man.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
What do you think, Robbie? Ready for prime time?
Absolutely. I don't know. I thought there was an odd pause there at the end. X-Man.
That was the pause of mystification.
Yeah, indeed.
If you thought there was a mosquito in your ear, I hope you slapped yourself.
Oh, yeah.
One can only dream.
I get the feeling often when I'm forced to add numbers that count up to more than 21.
Ew! WTMI! WTMI!
No more Vegas for you, Robbie. So we're going to talk to a golf pro on the program today, I understand.
You know we are indeed, because when you think mortgage, you think, well, golf. And we're going to talk with John Ankenbrand, who's the head of instruction over at the Kingwood Golf Advantage School. And anybody and everybody can go there and play and join in and learn the game of golf, this most beautiful, awful game of golf. Yes.
Can he teach me to hit a high fade that lands with sunburned butterflies' feet just on the phone here? Can he do that?
Yes, he absolutely can. It may not be with your club, and it may, in fact, not be you swinging it.
But by golly, I'm going to learn that.
I seem to remember somebody describing golf once as constant disappointment leavened by constant hope of improvement.
Yeah, but enough about marriage. And this is not a marriage show here.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
What do we do to win?
Well, whatever you do, this radio station better be a part of it.
I like most of the programs on KTH.
News Talk 1070 listeners talk about the talk show.
But I have to say, I have a special place in my heart for Michael Medved. Most of the shows are about politics,
mm-hmm.
and I do care about politics. Don't get me wrong, but Michael Medved is focused on American culture. It's about American traditions and values, and whether we can hang on to them during this era of political correctness. Medved is a defender of the kind of traditions I can remember from when I was a kid.
How old are you now?
9.
Quid pro quo, Clarice. I tell you things, you tell me things.
I'm just looking for a mortgage, Dr. Lecter.
Oh. Well, when arm rates go up, can you still hear the screaming?
Well, yeah. My next-door neighbor has an arm.
And is he suffering, Clarice?
Well, he is up to 8.75%.
If your arm is making you scream, call X-Man Mortgage for a refi. Save lots of money and stop the screaming. 100% financing of homes, no proof of income. We answer our darn phone.
X-M-A-N.
Just Google it.
Uh-oh, we're back already? I don't know what I'm doing here.
Your confusion is not rational.
All right, who's David Brewer and why are we calling him?
He's a real estate lawyer.
Oh, cool.
Very good.
Real estate lawyer, so.
You're easily amused.
David Brewer's office.
Hi, looking for David Brewer.
One moment.
Wow, the phone. Cool. Hello, this is Robert Wood. Yes, sir. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, he got another phone call while we're waiting.
You goofball.
Robbie.
Get off the other phone, Robbie.
Oh, wow.
This is a real professional show.
Hello.
Bob,
hello?
Talk to the man before he hangs up on us.
David Brewer, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic.
One, two, three.
Oh, there you go.
Robbie, get off the phone!
Hey, Robbie, you're off the phone.
That worked quickly.
I just slipped that in there before you guys, drew in the breath.
Robbie, David's on the phone with us now, waiting for you.
Oh, me? What? I guess you guys needed some intelligent commentary then, huh?
No, but we thought you needed a lawyer. So.
Oh, well, I always need a lawyer. I especially like lawyers that, I don't know, how would you say it, work for free.
Free legal work for you is like pro bonehead.
No, and this advice is worth exactly what you're paying for.
Well, I guess I wonder if these guys have asked you, what in the world does a real estate lawyer actually do?
No, they haven't asked me that.
Ah, well, there you have it.
What does a real estate lawyer actually do?
I'm getting just a little bit of feedback on this end. So,
yeah, I know. There's one too many telephone calls hooked up at the same time, but hey, this is the only equipment I have.
It's all Robbie's fault.
Well, in that case, it may mask my actual answer, and I have nothing to worry about.
Well, you're with us. You have nothing to worry about anyway.
Well, you know, with that kind of an entree, real estate lawyers primarily, it's hard to say what anyone does on a given day because, you know, there are so many different aspects of real estate law.
He already sounds like a lawyer.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to
He said a lot of words without actually answering the question.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
You could work with landlords. You could work with tenants. You can work with investors. You can work with real estate developers. You can work with contractors. You can work with disgruntled homeowners or folks who are litigants in a construction dispute.
You know, David, at X-Man, we only work with gruntled
homeowners. Not with dissed ones?
No, no. Heaven forfend. That's Brand X, thank you.
So you protect people's interests in matters of real estate.
That's it exactly. Thank you for that succinct answer.
As a segue, I am told that everyone who buys a home should have a lawyer involved.
You know, that is, I think, what should happen in an ideal world. I mean, the economic realities are such that most people say, hey, I have a real estate broker or a real estate agent representing me and my interests, and I'm going to trust this person to tell me what this contract says. And most of the time, they, you know, come out of that all right. I think that it would be very wise to have a real estate lawyer just pass their eyes over those closing documents at the very least, because that is what evidences your ownership of the property. You're signing off on a sizable obligation, and you have a lot at stake there.
So you could just pretty much step off a cliff and not realize it unless you really understood what you were reading.
Well, many times in those disclosures, folks are telling you that, you know, there's been past termite damage, or you may have issues with your foundation, or there may be some sort of, you know, geological fault. You have deed restrictions that you are obligating yourself to. And, you know, folks usually just sign off on that and try to avoid the expense of, you know, having a professional review those documents.
With a boom in the real estate market these days and everyone getting in it for investment purposes, you got to be a busy guy.
You know, it has been a very good market. A lot of people have understandably grown a little bit disenchanted with the stock market. There's a lot of capital now that has come into the real estate markets. Some people say that that boom will, you know, on that cyclical average, eventually come to a downturn. But I tell you what, in Houston and in many of the Sun Belt states, we just haven't seen even a leveling off. I do expect that there'll be a leveling off, but I don't expect that there's going to be a bust.
Well, as one of our construction guys told us on a previous show, when they're employed at 100% capacity and then it slows down and they go to 90%, that's still pretty darn good.
You know, sometimes 90% is just a welcome relief.
And it is important for hardworking builders to take a little time to relieve themselves.
Just the kind of lowbrow humor I'd expect from you guys.
On the phone with us now is David Brewer, who's a real estate attorney operating out of Kingwood, Texas, but he cut his teeth with Fulbright and Jaworski. David knows any and all things real estate lawyer-related. How do you say that?
Ron Jaworski of the Eagles or Leon Jaworski of Watergate fame?
You know, exactly. Leon Jaworski was a prosecutor for Watergate, and he is one of the progenitors for that firm.
Tell me, what is the most egregious attempt at misrepresentation, fraud, or theft, or what have you, that you have been there to prevent someone from being a victim of?
Do you know?
He's going to hang up the phone now. He just prevented Houston from hearing a big fraud.
Well, you know,
I don't mean ongoing cases, David.
Yeah. You know, it's even those past ones. You're bound by that thing called attorney-client privilege, and confidentiality goes along with that.
I hate that.
Yeah. You know, I have an obligation to represent my clients' interests even after they're no longer my clients in that respect. But I can tell you that in commercial transactions in general, you are allowed as a party to disclaim anything and everything, and as long as the other party is knowledgeable and aware of this, you could even disclaim, for instance, very sizable environmental damages to a property, which entail millions and millions of dollars in cleanup costs. There have been instances in which a seller fraudulently withheld some of that information, but the buyer signed off on a waiver of any and all claims and an acknowledgement that they were buying the property as is with all faults, and that was upheld in a court of law.
So people really are at the mercy of the people they're doing business with, and they really need you.
You know, caveat emptor, you know, buyer beware.
Yeah, to this day, Three Mile Island still in the hands of the same guy.
It's wonderful waterfront property.
It's hot springs, yeah, that's it, yeah.
And why is it all those fish have three eyes?
And why are two of the three eyes looking at me? Now, David, we're trying hard to come up with questions for you that make us seem intelligent, but we're having some trouble. Can you help us out here?
How about you know, in a standard home purchase contract,
mm-hmm.
the most common mistakes that are made?
Okay. Bob, do you want to take that one?
Hey, so, Dave, in a standard home purchase contract, why don't you tell us some of the most common mistakes made?
Well, the most common mistake, I think, from a seller's standpoint, is accepting too little earnest money. And the reason for that is if a buyer can tie up your property with $1,000 and still yet be shopping for other offers, then you've kind of sold yourself short. You know that someone is truly earnest if they put down $5,000 as opposed to $1,000. That's an offer that's really going to get your attention. And additionally, many times in the contract, in paragraph 15 of the standard TREC form contract, for instance,
mm-hmm.
most parties, they just put a line through the remedies in the event of default that allow for money damages or specific performance, which basically holds the parties to their deal and forces, for instance, the buyer to sell the property or the buyer to buy the property or the seller to sell the property.
The old line item veto trick.
They interlineate, as we refer to it, and remove
I beg your pardon?
Those.
Should I be offended by that?
It's not an insult.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you find yourself in the position of a seller who has accepted $1,000 as the earnest money and has that interlineation, which precludes their remedies, and the only remedy remaining to them is the earnest money.
I was going to say, does the réponse lignée mean that they have to give back the earnest money too? They get to keep that at least.
They get to keep just that because usually they have precluded any other remedy at law or at equity. And if that $1,000 earnest money is all they're holding on to and their potential buyer walks on the deal, then, you know, that's very little solace. If they've come right up to closing, the other guy just decides, hey, I don't want to do this, but guess what? You have precluded any legal remedy against me. You get to keep my earnest money, but I'm walking this deal, and you have $1,000 to show for all your time and trouble.
But, David, what we really want to know is, tell us your best lawyer joke.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, maybe we would have to use a degree of prudence and discretion in what we actually air.
On this show, do you know what you're asking?
To all of your listeners. I can tell you this one, though, and I hope that you folks will chuckle. And normally I use this as kind of a lead-in to many of my little speeches given at various educational seminars.
Before or after you present the bill?
Normally before.
Oh,
and, you know, this is the thing about lawyers. It's such a shame that 97% of them out there give the rest of us such a bad name.
I don't want to say it was cold last year, but I saw a lawyer outside with his hands in his own pockets. Seriously, though, I'm getting the feeling that a person could save an awful lot of money by investing in a few attorney's fees.
You know, that's the intention, and more often than not, you know, if a party is well-counseled, they're going to save money on the deal, not only now, but in terms of the risk avoidance on down the road. And that is why, of course, you know, every knowledgeable entity out there is going to go ahead and retain legal counsel and encourage you not to, because they would certainly like to retain that advantage in any of the negotiations.
So how about that name, phone number, and point of contact, David?
There you go. Name is David Brewer. You can Google me. I'm certain that I will come up there under David R. Brewer, attorney at law.
So while they're Googling X-Man, They can Google David Brewer.
You know, right. X-Man works every time. In fact, I believe, Bob, we're going to work this out so that I have a link on your website to mine. I am David R. Brewer, attorney at law, 281-359-8686, and you can email me at dbrewerlaw@houston.rr.com.
That's right, folks. Google up X-Man, go to our site, and David Brewer will be there.
Thanks a lot, David. We appreciate your candor here and not charging us for this 10 minutes.
There you go. It's a free consultation.
At least Woo-hoo! As far as we know.
Worth every penny you paid for it.
Still slipped into that one billable hour. Cool.
Thank you, David. Listen, have a great day.
Thank you.
David Brewer, attorney at law. Just Google him next time you go to buy some real property and someone tries to throw you a fake deal on realty. David Brewer can save you some real money. Now, last week, we were talking about Shea Chic and those goofy T-shirts, and all through it, the tax goddess was just glassy-eyed.
The whole time, I kept trying to figure out who you were talking about. Were you talking about Che Guevara?
That is who he was talking
about.
Well,
Shea, about. I think...
Shea? Where did you get Shea? He's
because
not
it
French.
Rhymes
it's
with
Shea.
Chic. It's alliterative. It's Shea Chic. That's what he was... You were saying...
It's Shea Ignorance.
Shea Chic, weren't you, Rob?
Huh?
Now
who
that's
are you talking ignorant. To?
Somebody used a word that was like further than like four syllables, and everything just locked up in my brain.
Okay,
like,
just roll.
When
over
you said
and go back
Shea,
to sleep,
were you pronouncing the name C H E?
What?
No, C H E.
That's W H A.
Yeah, no, they're going to need to spot me some letters on that word.
The answer is, in spite
I'd
of
I'd like to buy a vowel.
In spite of Rob's apparent inability to recall the events of 1 week ago, yes, he was trying to pronounce the name Che Guevara.
Che.
Not Shay.
But it's Shay Chic, and that's the T-shirt, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
Che rhymes with heh.
Actually, we found,
like
I found some beautiful T-shirts. It has a lovely skull with a hole in the middle of it with the little Shea beret and the hair and everything, and it says, he's dead.
Get over it.
I thought, it's like, that is delicious.
And you've got them on sale for only $17.95.
But wait, call within 5 minutes of hearing this commercial.
And get the genuine antique Gallagher Sledge-O-Matic.
No, actually, what I'm really... like looking forward to in a great way is later on this year the Austin City Limits Music Festival, which is like, you know, your unshaved hippie haven kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the People's Republic of Austin. I mean, it's you wouldn't believe the amount of just utterly stupid liberal nonsense, you know, on display walking around the human billboards as well. Ought to have that kind of thing on them anyway. But to my mind, it's like, you know, I really need a nice T-shirt to wear out there. He's like, something that just, it really would cause them to scratch their lacy heads. And it's like, is he furs or a Guinness?
I think you need to get that shirt that says, stop midget on midget crime.
One small step, yeah.
I don't know. But the Che He's Dead shirt sounds like a showstopper to me. You'll knock him right out of their Birkenstocks, Froggy.
Well, yeah.
Send those frog lickers packing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, if the mold will let go of the leather.
And Dead Revolutionaries, now a completed category, will go for sagging, bagging, styling, and profiling for $200, Alex.
Apparently the fashion with the oversized pants that are halfway down your hips and show a couple inches of your underwear and the really baggy legs that drag on the floor has been a considerable aid to police officers in apprehending suspects because their pants tend to fall off and trip them while they're running away. Part of the article said a police officer had apprehended this kid, put him in handcuffs. Kid managed to wiggle away, runs about 3 steps, falls into the street, wiggles like a fish, because his pants have dropped down to his knees, wiggles like a fish, manages to get out of his pants, and being an intelligent criminal, runs into a shopping mall to blend in and get away. So, unfortunately, when cop calls a description like male, handcuffed, no pants, it's not really that hard to catch them. And he was actually apprehended by a 61-year-old grandmother outside of JCPenney. She just grabbed him by the shirt collar and hung on to him until the cops got there.
See, he was heading straight for the Calvin Klein store.
The other one that I really liked, perpetrator tries to hold up a donut shop, so you knew there had to be cops everywhere. With a gun, jumps over the counter, which might have been a really cool maneuver if he hadn't got caught in his own pants. and gone crashing to the ground. Pulls his pants back up, runs out of the store. The police are chasing him. He's holding his pants with one hand. Gets to a fence, jumps up on the fence. As he goes over the other end, though, his pants get caught in the top of the wire fence. So when the police apprehended him, he was dangling upside down by his pants from the back of the fence.
That's pretty good visual there.
Some things just make me happy.
Okay, kids, get around the microphone and say goodbye to Uncle Robbie.
Bye, Uncle Robbie.
Aww.
Now, you see what a great day you missed by not showing up in the studio today?
Yeah.
Surrounded by beautiful young brunettes.
Brewing frog is brewing flippant.
Well, by the way, well, since I did spend a lot of the morning over going and picking up aluminum fencing.
Did the owners know you were doing this?
Were you stealing scrap metal again?
By the side of the road with a little can thing. No, Julie's boss is getting an addition put on the back of his house. So he had to put up a black kind of wrought iron looking fence to keep the neighborhood kids from like falling into his pool and everything. Uh-huh. Well, they were removing part of that fence to put in the new addition to the house. So I went and picked up several panels, a gate, and some other things, and they're all sitting in the back of the pickup truck right now. And on occasion, I know that some not quite so well-behaved dogs will dig a hole under the fence or whatever else. And I thought, well, so one of these panels would be excellent to put in front of such a place.
So what you're saying is you were doing handyman stuff when you should have been in here working.
I plead the fifth.
Against the advice of broadcast consultants, management, and ownership of this property, my colleagues here in the radio station, friends, family, neighbors, strangers walking down the street, this program will return next week at the same
time. Same X channel.
I-X-M-A-N.
Rewind the tape.
I-X-M-A-N.
Give me an I. No, just kidding.